Since the early days of 2012 theories, when people like David Wilcock were channeling entities with names like Ra and Seth, people were told that 2012 was really about enlightenment. This idea is one that we are supposed to believe. Yes, I know this is a bit of an insult to those who think that they have uncovered the idea that 2012 is really about a consciousness shift or spiritual evolution as opposed to some doomsday situation through their diligent research. Well, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but this has been the line even back when 2012 enlightenment was supposed to have occurred in 2000. It was pushed back to 2012 after it didn't happen. Nowadays, it would be very difficult to find a 2012 website that doesn't make the claim similar to the following. Many people think that 2012 was about the end of the world, but that's what stupid people think. We smart people know that it is really about a great cosmic shift in consciousness. Okay, they might be a little more subtle than that, but what I'm trying to say is that you think you're the only one who knows that 2012 is supposed to be about spiritual evolution, but this is what you were meant to think all along. The idea, if properly presented, has many uses for global government, one of which will be the acceptance of the genocide of dissenters of that new system, as well as patriotism for the new system that will purport to be a utopia. I'm not saying that people behind promulgating the ideas are a part of some secret cabal. Well, for the most part. I think that for the most part, these people really do believe their sources. In David Wilcock's case, his source is Ra, and as we will see, there are many types of Ra's out there, and they are extremely concerned with getting those who are willing to listen to them to tell the world about this coming enlightenment in or around 2012. The idea is that the planet is due for a change in consciousness. They say it's a spiritual evolution. Some say it will bring a physical as well as a spiritual shift. They offer various pseudo-scientific reasons for this happening. Most of them, if pressed, will default to a variation of the following to explain why we are to expect a spiritual evolution. That a vibrational change, which is supposed to be due to the solar system entering a certain nebula in or around 2012, will cause us to raise our vibration and thus change us into new spiritual beings. I covered this theory in depth in my video, Michael Tsarian is Wrong, 2009, a debunkumentary, where I found that not only are we moving away from the star system where this nebula supposedly is, but to suggest that the solar system passes through anything at all as a result of the 26,000-year precession cycle requires a fundamental misunderstanding of the precession cycle, which has nothing to do with the solar system's position in the galaxy, and therefore could never tell you when the solar system was going to enter a nebula, no matter how well that you understood it. It simply does not, and never will, have anything to do with that. And even if they meant to tell us that they were referring to the 250 million year cycle of the solar system's revolution around the galaxy, then, in addition to all the problems with what I'll call the precession version of enlightenment, you are also expecting people to believe that nebulas somehow are made up of captured light particles or photons, as opposed to dust, gas, and plasma. This is a logical fallacy in itself, as light, by its nature, is moving rather rapidly and doesn't gather in nebulas or anywhere else. And even this is assuming that light somehow is known to cause spiritual enlightenment. But there is absolutely no reason to think this, even if nebulas were made up of light, which they are not. The whole thing is based on logical impossibilities. And if someone tries to appeal to a secret ancient knowledge to validate this, they are usually doing so with some variation of the 26,000-year precession cycle, because, to the best of my knowledge, there is no indication that any ancients were aware of the 250 million-year cycle of the solar system around the galactic center. And even if they did know about it, it would be illogical to expect that things would be the same from one revolution to the next, as the lifespan of a nebula is at the most several hundreds of thousands of years, and one revolution around the galaxy takes us 250 million years to complete. What I find the most fascinating is that most of the time people are not requiring anyone to explain to them why they should expect this consciousness shift. It has almost become the background noise of the New Age movement, and as such has been taken as truth, just because they have heard it repeated so often. They are content to take these snake oil salesmen at their word. And I realize that in some cases it is presented in such a way that seems very scientific, and it's easy to be sucked into it. I once was, and although people don't understand the science, They feel that the reason that they don't understand it is because they aren't smart enough to, which makes them believe that the salesman is exceedingly brilliant because he apparently does, which builds trust in that person. This guy knows everything. The fact is, the salesmen themselves probably haven't been given many details about the mechanics of all this shifting either. Remember, it's coming from their sources. Yeah, so let's look at their sources for a moment. Channeling and other forms of direct contact with the quote spirit world have been the primary way that this idea has come down to us. I've already mentioned David Wilcock and Ra. Ra, who apparently takes over Wilcock's body from time to time, thinks the exact same way as the other entities who take over other people's bodies all over the world. The only difference seems to be that the entities will claim to be different things to different people. Some of them claim to be either aliens from other planets, Pleiadians or Greys. Sometimes they claim to be ascended masters from this planet, or light beings, or angels, or even just plain regular dead people. They definitely play to the particular person's paradigm. I would have the listener notice at this point that some of these claims are mutually exclusive. That is to say that it appears that although the message is exactly the same, which to me suggests a relationship, what they tell the humans about what they are is sometimes vastly different, which suggests that they aren't the most honest of beings, whatever they may be. The following is a typical example of something found all over the internet, of people being almost forced to tell the world about this 2012 enlightenment by these beings. In this example, she is in contact with, quote, star people. So you may be wondering then why I'm creating a 2012 blog. I was asked during an alien channeling late in the night, then nudged during meditations back home in Oakland, California, then told with loud clarity while driving through an amazingly strong vortex by the Trinity River. And now, since I didn't take the other three blatant hints, I am being pushed to do so now. All right, already, I'm doing it. And, actually, I am happy and excited about it, because it just feels like the timing is perfect. Also, I have noticed so many people getting worked up about gloom and doom with 2012. I feel it is part of my mission to raise awareness. 2012 is certainly not a catastrophic event, rather a beautiful, highly enlightening shift to a high vibrational acceleration into a very high dimensions. It is ascension at its all-time best. There are literally hundreds of such cases, each one feeling obligated to share this message to the world after their supernatural encounters. In fact, much of the Enlightenment movement was started by people who admit their work is in some cases directly dictated to them from these entities. Take David Icke, for example, one of the best-known proponents of a coming spiritual awakening in 2012. Much of his own testimony is one of, quote, extra-dimensional entities telling him to write books on this. He claims that much of his early research was given to him directly from them. The same is true with the birth of the New Age movement itself, through H.P. Blavatsky and Alice Bailey, who claim to have been given their teachings by, quote, ascended masters, or humans who apparently have achieved this state of enlightenment. For those that haven't actually channeled any entities or had the displeasure of being abducted and indoctrinated by one, there are many people out there that simply consult the spirit world with tarot cards or some other means of getting information from spirits. The fact is, this whole idea has been given to us by the spirit world, almost without exception. And the most intriguing thing to me about it is that the spirit world either knows very little about astronomy and science, yet feels obligated to tell us what they think that they know about it, or they have another agenda that we haven't figured out yet about 2012 and enlightenment, and it is necessary to lie about who or what they are for some reason. So how will this idea of spiritual enlightenment lead to genocide? Very easily, given the proper circumstances. And it is my belief that the proper circumstances are in fact being planned. I understand that what I'm about to say seems impossible at the moment, but I think that the world will be a very different place by 2012, and many weird things will be engineered to happen between now and then. This will be because there is an agenda that will greatly benefit from the masses believing themselves to be bucking the old system in favor of a new, spiritually enlightened one. First, let's look at some verbiage associated with the supposed coming enlightenment. Notice especially the view of those that do not wish to be enlightened, or those that simply will be unable to advance to the higher level like everyone else. There's a lot of talk about the need to eliminate one group in order for the rest of the world to progress into this new, promised spiritual utopia. Michael Tsarian said the following, "And that end date of 2012 signals major changes, positively, for consciousness. Again, as I repeat, before you can have the light, or when you have a bright light, the first thing you notice is the dirt. The survivors are those who can adjust their consciousness and mentality to the nonviolent movement of nature and synchronize their psyches with the universal meta-theme. Having the fates conspire to auger in cataclysmic external and internal events in order to undermine the rotten edifice that we stand worshipping and bring it crashing down around us. As this photonic light gradually intensifies, most people's consciousness are going to rebel, as we all do when a bright light is shined in our face. We turn away and cover our eyes. We may even strike out at those holding the light towards us. Those few that can face this light and who are prepared for it will be guided, given their healing, and able to live their dreams. But these few will have to be deeply able to understand what's happening to those around them in order to be defended against the worst effects of this irregular but radical change." David Icke, another person who thinks that the 26,000-year precession cycle will somehow pass the Earth through a light nebula in 2012, says the following, "Then we can go into a stage two, which is an incredible consciousness shift which is going to happen, and is happening for many people already, but it can happen for everyone if we open up to the knowledge of what's going on, and to do that, the edifice of oppression must go. And the second is not going to happen for many people unless we remove the edifice of suppression. Because many people are going to think, what the heck is going on? And they're going to go through this great change in a complete fog of what's happening. Fear, oh my goodness, what's happening? Two things to do here. One is to start focusing on how the world is controlled, identifying it, removing it. Secondly, we can all concentrate on the transformation spiritually that is unfolding in the year 2012 and beyond." The following is a random channeling session that I pulled from the internet. It says, "There is an extraordinary divine alchemy also happening with your planet and humanity as it experiences this karmic transmutation. The roots of the new human evolution are taking hold. Through the changes that will occur in your lives and in your world over the next years, a human society of oneness will indeed be birthed. If there is no change, no upheaval, which causes the old ways and systems to be evaluated and dispensed with, then no evolution is possible." Icke and Tsarian and all the 2012 proponents go on at length to tell us why we need to evolve from the spiritual state that we are currently in. It's more of the tired old line that all the problems of the world were caused by religions, and that religions, especially the Christian one, is the greatest enemy of enlightenment. This is the idea that I explain in my video, Religious Wars, Fact or Fiction, that is also a piece to this complicated web of indoctrination we are all going through. The sum of the video is that it was never true believers of any religions that caused wars, but instead it was the governments who, through controlling education systems, perverted religious teachings so that they could get their people to fight wars for them. In fact, that's the reason why the Bible was kept from Christians for thousands of years after Rome took over Christianity. Because true Christian teaching has literally no place for anything but absolute peace and love for your enemies. And that concept is not good for governments that love war. So I will now stop beating around the bush and tell you what I think is going to happen and how it will lead to genocide. Keep in mind, this is my opinion, and I'm still working on it, and I'm sure that many of the details that I will propose about how we will get there are going to be wrong, but we will get there. A major war will be set up by those that have the power to make things like that happen. I think there will be an effort to make this war seem like the same war prophesied at the end of the Bible, in order to give credibility to their next move. There will also be, before that, an effort in the coming years to make a man seem like the biblical Antichrist. They will make it look like he has made a peace agreement with Israel and the whole bit. They will put him in charge of some quasi-global government, maybe the UN or the EU. This system and man will essentially be the fall guy. They will be destroyed to make what comes after them seem like the prophesied utopia. The culmination of this system will be a nasty war in the midst of terrible economic devastation. Basically, everything that can be engineered to go wrong will be going wrong at that time. It is my belief that they're going to make this be around 2012, and possibly even December 21st, 2012, but it doesn't have to be. It just needs to be close to that date for it to work for them. An event will happen that they will control that will activate all the years of indoctrination that we have been subjected to over the last few years. The following could happen a number of ways, but many things will be accomplished with it. I have hypothesized in the past that it could be done with a false alien manifestation, where we are all saved from ourselves, just in the nick of time, by them. And I still think it will have something to do with this, i.e. extraterrestrials. One of the reasons is because it would also activate some of our other programming at the same time, namely that we have been, in the same manner as 2012, taught to think that alien existence equals no God. And so it would help us to go into the new system united with a new belief about our origins, as well as a worldwide rejection of God. This will be important later. This new religion will be one where man believes himself to be God, again activating years of latent programming. The aliens will encourage this belief by telling us that we aren't evolved like them, but that we too can be as gods, like them. And I will eat my hat if it is not claimed that they genetically created us, because that idea would finally give evolutionists a way to temporarily explain the DNA code, and the world would embrace this as a scientific truth. This is, of course, until someone asks the question, well, who created their DNA? The DNA code currently frustrates an honest evolutionist because the code betrays design. This would also be the best possible solution to the national sovereignty problems that a world government has had, as we would willingly give up our flags and constitutions, as we would now believe ourselves to be a part of a new galactic family, making national sovereignty obsolete. There is one more ingredient that will be added to the mix. This is the one that you will, if you understand theosophy, know that any utopia can't be complete without, i.e., the world teacher. In addition to the stated objectives, as of 1889, Helena Blavatsky purportedly had told a group of theosophical students that the real purpose of establishing the society was to prepare humanity for the reception of the world teacher when he appeared on Earth. This was repeated again, more publicly, by Annie Besant in 1896, 5 years after Blavatsky's death. In Blavatsky's own writings, the only reference to a similar idea indicated that it would not be for at least a century. The world will believe that an ancient avatar, or God, has returned to save them from themselves. He will possibly claim a relationship with some sort of extraterrestrial, but he will most importantly have in some way destroyed the Patsy Antichrist. This person will activate another program that we have been given. This one is part of what's called the externalization of the hierarchy, part of which is an idea that many ages have seen an avatar come to them at crucial junctures in history, and that they were all the same entity, like Buddha, Krishna, and Jesus. They say that they were all part of the Christ consciousness, i.e. the same entity. This will be a genuine God in the flesh, people will believe, and as a planet, we will like it a lot. It is my belief that this man will in fact have many of the institutional churches convinced that he is the same Christ as the first century Christ, and that the reason all the pieces don't match up precisely is because the Bible was an error. After all, he didn't destroy the Antichrist, and he did save us from Armageddon, so he must be the Christ, only a little different than we were expecting. The lukewarm churches will embrace his message totally, as will the rest of the world. And like Hitler after World War I and the Treaty of Versailles, he will promise a brighter future than the one that people have just witnessed, one with no more wars, no religion, a new world order. We will give him the reins to this new technological utopia, but it is my belief that this will not be the end of bad things at all, but the beginning of the worst time in the history of humanity, one where this imposter will force the world, through a technological means, possibly a chip, to worship him. And this is why, in my opinion, when the disciples of the real Jesus asked him what his return would be like, he started his answer with this: "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet." My friends, every conceivable conspiracy has in some way or another been leading up to this event. It has all been preparation for this. This is a spiritual war, and there is a very powerful entity that wants to try to extract the worship from every human on this earth. For the first time, he has the infrastructure to control people in such a way to do this. All of the money systems and the geopolitics and the police state and the chemical poisoning of the planet have all played a role in preparing the world to be spiritually milked by this ancient cherub. But no matter how powerful he is, he and all his demons are still subject to the lowliest Christian, who has been given total power over all dark spirits, because the real Christ has given it to them, even though most do not understand what they have or use it. But this is why it is said, "The spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world." It's important to realize this next part in order to understand the reason why the Antichrist will have to convince the world that what I'll call real Christians must be systematically eliminated in the new utopia. The answer to that is found in the following verses. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." The Bible also talks about this final world system killing Christians by the untold millions for not worshiping this false Christ. It has always been one of the hardest verses to understand in the Bible for me. How could a world that pretends to be so moral acquiesce to such a horrible, brutal genocide? I thought that we would have grown out of genocides by now, after seeing so many in this last century. The answer is that it won't be the same world. Christianity is the only religion that has been explicitly warned about this false peace, and it will serve as yet another reason why they will need to be made the public's number one enemy. They simply cannot go along with this new utopia. But you can be sure that the world will be told that this resistance to the new utopia is because they are the old system, and that they are holding everyone back from the spiritual evolution that the world deserves.